Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. This is a huge project coming to Montana, this replacing of the existing intercontinental ballistic missiles, the ICBMs, in our region here. It's, of course, going on put on by the Air Force, which manages these bases. And welcome back here, Tom Schultz, alongside. Let's just get right into this. There's going to be some town hall meetings. This has, of course, been in front of us for quite some time here in a major project. It's going to impact central Montana, Lewistown, and Fergus, Cascade counties as well. So let me get this out there, and then we'll welcome Joe Briggs here from Cascade County in just a bit. May 13th, so that's going to be tomorrow, Fergus County Fairgrounds. This one will be at 6 o'clock, all right? May 14th on this town hall meeting, Fairfield High School at 5 p.m., and then on May 15th, it'll be in Great Falls at 6 p.m. at the West Elementary School. And with that, let's welcome Cascade County Commissioner Joe Briggs here to the program. Commissioner Briggs, how are you, sir?
Doing well. How about you, Tom?
Hanging in. I appreciate you coming along. This is a big project, isn't it?
This is a huge project. We haven't seen anything of this magnitude in Montana since the original construction of the Minuteman system.
Yeah. Go ahead and throw some numbers out there. I mean, how long will this last? How many jobs? How many people? Economic impact? You know, what comes top of mind that people should know about this project?
Well, number one, the time frame is still a little fluid, and that's the reason, quite frankly, they're doing these town halls, because some of the original timelines may be altering. There's already close to $80 million worth of construction happening at Malmstrom in preparation for this without even starting to work on the silos. This will be probably a 8 to 10 year process to get all of this done. There'll be some estimates are 1,500 new construction jobs during that time period. And part of my job as far as the economic development side is to try to leverage this to where we get some permanent jobs out of it. There'll be some small plus-ups at Malmstrom Air Force Base, but as far as additional bodies, once the construction is done, it'll be like the original one was 60-plus years ago. The construction goes away and all that activity stops. And so that's why I'm in D.C. right now, is working on issues of how we get some follow-on economic development so we get a more lasting impact out of these funds.
Yeah, what would that look like? I mean, I know there's communication towers, there's military work, but I think you're talking more so in support of the military work there.
What we're trying to do through Great Falls Development is create a defense cluster of industries that this system will need going forward, rather than have those people fly in from California or Texas, which has been the operating principle for the last 60 years, maybe we can get some of those small manufacturing companies that need to build components here. And so we're trying to do that. We're trying to make sure that small businesses in Montana through the PTAC, they don't call it PTAC anymore, the Apex accelerators, have the opportunity to learn how to do government contracting and be able to submit for subcontractors. But our goal is not just during the construction process, but we'd like basically to become the manufacturing center for the other two bases as this gets done. Because like I said, the impact of the missile field itself is huge throughout the whole area. Every county feels the positives of having the Minuteman system here. But wouldn't it be nice to grab some of the high-tech jobs that are being supported in Utah and California and other places for the ongoing maintenance?
Yeah, I mean, that's a and what's the likelihood of that? Or what's the process, and where are you at in that process? Like I said, you're up in Washington. What's the likelihood there, Joe?
Well, I think the likelihood could be really fairly high. And the reason I say that, and this is also why I've had some people ask me, well, why are they holding one of the town hall meetings in Fairfield? Well, the answer to that is before the SALT II treaty, we had 200 missile silos active in Montana as opposed to 150 at the other two bases. Part of that treaty had called for the stand down of 50 missiles. So if you think about the logistics of it, the Air Force has the impossible task of converting 450 missiles to a new system without taking any offline. Well, you really can't do that. So now they're looking seriously at maybe using the 50 missile field, what was once the, we called them the odd squad because they were a little different communications configuration than the rest of them. But the ones up in Toole and Ponderay County that were disabled years ago, the Air Force is looking seriously at maybe reactivating those and using those as the first installment of the missiles. So if that happens, the timeline shifts. We become on the front end of the prototyping, basically. And if that happens, then I think our local subcontractors would have a good shot at being able to be plugged into the whole system.
What kind of work is available for local Montana contractors?
Well, there's a massive amount of electrical work. There is general construction work. There is telecommunications work. Because in addition to the command and control systems like the existing missile silos have, they're also going to put unconnected to anything else, but they want the airmen at the MAFs to also have internet connectivity. So there'll be some of that. There'll be new power requirements, quite a bit higher than the existing. So the rural co-ops will be involved in all of this because most of the missile sites' power is supplied by the co-ops. And then among the bigger questions is, are they going to refurbish the silos or are they going to put in new silos?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're trying to do it in the same footprint. The original plan was the new missiles would go into the old silos, but I'm being told that they're thinking now that the best way to do it might be to precast the silos in big pieces and then assemble them on site. So if that's the case, somebody may be able to bid on a contract for precasting a massive amount of cement.
That's fascinating, actually. I mean, it would be a lot of cement there as well. Why? Commissioner Joel Briggs is with us, Cascade County. Again, we're talking about the Sentinel missile upgrade program where the ICBMs are going to be decommissioned here as well. Montana, along with, Minot Air Force Base, F.E. Warren Air Force Base as well, involved in this, some 450 missile and launch facilities. The missiles themselves, I guess, are one thing. They're not going to be manned in that regard. What do you see is important for people to understand? How are they going to be able to take advantage or inconvenienced we got town hall meetings upcoming. What is the information you want them to glean from that?
Well, the biggest thing we want people to come in and understand is that, the timeline is fluid. The original timeline that was announced is likely to change. It's particularly important for the people in the area, the old 564th squadron, which is the one that was disabled, to realize that they may have missiles again. The positive side to that is that the roads that probably everybody who lives in central Montana know that the roads that go to the missile silos are the best roads we have. And that's because the Western Federal Highways pays to rebuild those roads on a routine basis. So although the counties are responsible for maintenance, the underlying road structure is likely better maintained than the average county road. So that will be a change that people will see. The economic activity during construction, of course, will be significant to the communities. There will likely be what are called work hubs, maybe one in Fergus County, maybe one somewhere in Cascade County, where they will use as basically a transfer yard and places for the civilian construction workers to live that come in from outside. So there'll be some of those kind of benefits. Overall, the local economy will see quite a boost. But as I said, if we can tag on to that and lasting defense cluster industry base, then the ramifications will be massive forever. So going back to what should people learn at this, they should learn, number one, not to be afraid of this. This is this is really a very good thing for our nation and for Montana, and to just kind of be adaptable about the timelines. But if they do own a business and want to do business with the Air Force, you don't just walk up one day and say, hi, I'm here. Like everything with federal government, there's a process. And so you need to talk to the folks that can help you get established with government contracting. And it won't be just for the Air Force. Once you're established as being able to be a federal government contractor, that works in all the agencies. So you would need to talk to, like, Great Falls Development, their Apex Accelerator people, to teach you how to get registered and certified as a federal contractor.
I think that's real key. Have you seen folks take advantage of that?
We have. But it, like I said, it's something, and, you know, this is a national defense issue. So I would tell everybody, if you want to be doing that, do it now and get some other federal contracts so that you have got a track record of performance, rather than expecting to be, you know, certified to work on a national security-driven process down the road. So get your foot in the door now, get a track record with the federal government so they know and trust you, and that'll make it a lot easier to be a potential subcontractor going forward.
I remember this other question, because when you were saying they don't know exactly if they're going to replace or renovate or create new missile silos, how come at this point they don't have that figured out by now?
Well, they had a plan, and the plan went way over budget. And so a federal law that passed by Congress a few years ago triggered that caused a full review. And in this case, quite frankly, I think it was very good, because in the review, they discovered some on-the-ground mistakes that were made as far as things like the conditions of the existing silos was not really checked out. There were some assumptions made. And so now it looks like it may actually be more cost efficient to basically dig out the old silos and put new ones in their place, rather than all the modifications are going to have to be made.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah,
the weapon system itself, the missile itself, I'm being told everything has proceeded very well through the design process, but it is a substantially heavier missile than the existing missile. It has greater range, greater accuracy. So, I mean, those are all things we need to protect ourselves. But it could be, and I am certainly not speaking from a security briefing standpoint. Everything I know is the stuff that they tell civilians. They're just discovering that they may be money ahead to just put in new silos rather than try to upgrade the old ones and modify them.
Yeah, I get that. So I'll give these dates again and places. So Lewistown tomorrow, May 13th at 6 p.m. It's at the fairgrounds in Fairfield High School, 5 p.m. And then on May 15th, midweek here, it'll be in Great Falls West Elementary School, and that starts at 6 o'clock. Is the Air Force going to be there? Who's going to be there to answer questions?
Yes, the Air Force has stood up in each of the three bases a separate detachment of individuals that works specifically on Sentinel, so that the existing command structure does not get disrupted in doing their day-to-day mission of nuclear deterrence. So there is a separate detachment in Cascade County, or in Malmstrom. It's commanded by John Mayer, and so he will be there to answer questions, along with some other folks from the Air Force on the technical side, so that people get their questions answered.
Right on. Hey, thanks for making the call. I know you're in Washington trying to do some work in this regard. I appreciate that as well. And when you come back, I'd like to catch up with you and see perhaps what your new perspective is after this trip. You good for that, Joe?
I am always good for that. I appreciate your efforts to spread the word on these town halls.
Yeah. I mean, information is good. We all need to be informed. Hey, thanks again for your service. Appreciate that.
You bet. Have a good day.
Commissioner Joe Briggs from Cascade County. It's 8 to 10 years. You know, 1,500 people will necessitate a lot of commotion in that area. So we'll be following it as well.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.